Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Text for our consideration is the gospel lesson that was just read. You may be seated. Since September 11th, the rubble of Ground Zero has become a most profound icon for America and the world. The fall of these mighty towers has had an impact greater than their construction. Never have these buildings received more attention than now in the aftermath of their destruction. Word has it that more gather at Ground Zero now than ever ventured to take in the view from the top of Wall Street's twin steeples. The twin towers once stood as a witness to American prosperity, but now their ashes testify to something more profound, more fundamental to the human soul. People assemble at the rubble because it testifies to the most basic of human conflicts. The pile of dust and ashes at Ground Zero is an icon of a war between good and evil, between life and death, between love and hate. To say that the ashes of this tragedy form an icon is to say that they testify to a reality greater than their material substance. To be sure, according to its substance, the rubble is merely a heap of worthless crumbs from a broken building. Yet one cannot behold this wreckage without participating in its conflict, without confronting the meaning of this clash between life and death. Today, dear friends, we too have been marked with ashes. According to its material substance, the ashes are merely a bit of annoying dirt that may embarrass us in public. However, the ashes are imposed upon us this day not simply as a peculiar Lenten ritual, but as a testimony to the eternal significance of the cross. The cross ashes on our forehead stand as an icon of a conflict that now reaches the very depth of our humanity. Like Ground Zero, we too are scarred by dust and ash because our very flesh and blood is now the site of a war between heaven and hell, between Christ and the devil, between life and death, good and evil, love and hatred. This conflict between love and hate is a conflict between two radically different strategies. Evil, death, hate, these seek victory through quickness and aggression and overpowering violence. Evil takes us by surprise. Hate attacks with a startling burst of overwhelming force. Death is always somewhat unexpected. But love follows a different way. Love gains the victory by patience, by endurance, by outlasting its opponent. St. Paul's words ring true. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The gospel lesson for this day, Jesus now calls us to such a life of patience. Patience simply recognizes that life is the gift of God. It cannot be earned or achieved. It cannot be acquired through seduction or manipulation. It cannot be stolen and used for one's own benefit. To be truly patient is to be thankful for what God has given in the past, to be content with what He gives in the present, and to wait for what He shall give in the future. And so Christ calls us to fast, to pray, to give alms. These acts are not meant to be the elements of some austere ascetic piety. Rather, such a life manifests the essence of our salvation. Fasting, prayer, almsgiving testify that victory does not consist in one's aggression or strength, but in one's endurance and faithful suffering. Thus, fasting is not the rejection of the feast, but preparation for the true feast of heaven. Prayer is not a means of manipulation, but a confession that life and salvation flow from the hand of God alone. Giving alms is not a way to ease the guilty conscience, but a testimony that true fulfillment is not achieved by acquiring the riches of this world, but in receiving the gift of our Father. Fasting, prayer, almsgiving, such a life testifies to the very heart of the Christian faith. Our conflict with sin, death, and hell is not won through a greater show of force. It is not won through our clever strategies. It is not won through any worldly power. Our victory consists in the gift of God. And if it consists in the gift of God, then it must also entail the patience of man. Thus Daniel the prophet, in the midst of exile, writes, "Blessed is the man who waits." One ancient church father maintained that the essence of sin and evil is impatience. The opposite of patience is not eagerness, anxiety, or restlessness. The opposite of patience is self-fulfillment. Evil is Adam, who could not keep the fast and sought self-fulfillment in the forbidden fruit. Evil is David manipulating Uriah and Bathsheba for his own benefit. Evil is Israel building a golden calf because they could not wait for Moses to descend the mountain. Evil is King Saul impatiently offering the sacrifice rather than waiting for Samuel to arrive. Surely it is true that impatience lies at the heart of sin. We are impatient for the truth, and so we settle for lies. We are impatient for eternal life, and so we settle for temporal life. We are impatient for God, and so we settle for idols. We are impatient for love, and so we settle for lust. We cannot wait for heaven, and so we become content with hell. Blessed is the man who waits. If salvation consists in the gift of God, then it must also entail the patience of man. When Christ invites us to share in a life of patience, he is inviting us to share in his own life and in his own humanity. Jesus is the perfectly patient man. Christ will not settle for the offerings of the devil. He will not settle for stones turned into bread. He will not settle for the kingdoms of this world. He will not be content with the protection of angels. Jesus lives his life in patience, waiting for his Father to bestow his gift. Our Lord does not gain the victory by force, by clever political manipulation, or by ambition or seduction. Jesus conquers by his patience. In Jesus' bloody body, there is no beauty to attract the Father's blessing. In his thorny crown, there is no military might with which to achieve victory. There is no force with which to triumph. On the cross, Jesus simply endures. He waits. He patiently abides unto the end. Blessed is the man who waits. Jesus' patience ends in death, but it is blessed with the resurrection. In the person of Christ, the gift of God and the patience of man are fully united, and in his holy passion, they are victorious. The power of evil may be quick and explosive and violent, but it only lasts for the moment. The secret of Christ's victory is the power of love, the power to endure, to outlast death itself. And we, dear friends, who now bear the ashes of his cross, we must now share in his conflict. And in his body and blood, we are now given of his victory, the victory of that love that bears all things. In this sacrament, the Father's hand is open, and the flesh and blood of Christ are given. Here we learn that victory, salvation, prosperity, and the like are not achieved through ambition or aggression. Life is not a prize won by the clever or the assertive. Rather, life is the gift of God bestowed upon those who will faithfully wait unto the end. And so, dear friends, how can we settle for an earthly feast when God wants to give us the bread of heaven? How can we be content with earthly homes and riches when God wants to give us the kingdom of heaven? How can we be satisfied with a prolonged temporal existence when God wants to give us a share in his own indestructible life? Blessed is the man who waits. Yes, indeed. Blessed is the man who waits. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
Amen.